One of the things that fascinated me as a child was to stand in a valley and hear, make a comment or a shout something, and you heard they heard your voice coming back. Now, of course, I found that quite amazing. Who was talking back to me? And of course, later on, of course, when I went to the Royal School and so on, and we learnt about physics and we learnt about sound and nodes and antinodes and so on, I understood a little bit more about the frequency of sound waves and what have you. As a child, I lived in an area known as the Clocher Valley, and we have a slide there. I don't know if you recognize it or not. This picture is actually taken, I think it's coming up into Clocher. I didn't live just as far up as that. But the Clocher Valley, it's not terribly far from here. An area about 150 square miles in the heart of Ulster, from Castlecoffield and Benburb, right up through the towns to the Tyrone-Fermanagh border, outside a 5 mile town. 8 little towns. And Auchnacloy, of course, was the largest of them, where we lived for a while. But if you go up the Clocher Valley, I don't know if this slide shows it, it's hard just to get the picture right. If you go up the Clocher Valley, you will see the hills on every side. It's a funnel-shaped area heading, as you know, up towards County Fermanagh. The Clocher Valley. We're on the subject of the valleys of the Bible, a little bit in a moment or two. When we were in Israel many years ago, we saw, even around Jerusalem, and I'm sure many of you have been there, you'll have seen lots of hills and lots of valleys. And one of the most famous valleys of the Bible is, of course, between the Mount of Olives, where Jesus ascended, and the city of Jerusalem. It's the Valley of Jezreel. And in that valley, there's a garden situated, and we know it, of course, as the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, we don't know if Jesus ever cried out to test the echo in the Valley of Jezreel, but we do know that in that valley, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he endured agony and suffering that was very difficult, and he found his followers fast asleep. Very often, whenever we use the word valley, in the sense that I want to use it in this talk today, we're using it as a low time in our lives. Because when we are in a valley, a kind of experience, we see around us hills on every side, and we don't feel like singing that the hills are alive with the sound of music. We feel trapped. We feel down. And we feel almost there's no way out. I'm always very suspicious, even in the Christian churches sometimes, of those people come with faith and they're always flapping and flustering and always seem to be on top of everything and bubbling. I haven't found life always to be like that. I have found that there are troubles and trials and tribulations. And Jesus promised that there would be. We do come up through the hard ground. That's part of the training of life. We have in our catechism, we talk about sanctification. As we grow more and more like Jesus, and it's through the trials and difficulties, and it's through the valleys of life that make us stronger in the faith. So I feel that very often we're not on the mountaintop, maybe not always in the valley, but very often we're somewhere in the middle. It's not a lot of fun to feel you are in a valley. I don't know what you're experiencing at the moment, and every person here is different. What valleys do we meet in the scripture? The first one, Psalm number 23. Now you know that we had our singing there, the modern setting of Psalm 23. And the first one comes to my mind straight away. Psalm 23, that famous verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Now, those are words that are so well known to all of us. David was expressing faith that in the deepest valley we will ever pass through, God is there. God is there. And I believe that it's in that valley that the Christian faith shines the brightest, in fact, the only light. In the deepest valley of life through which we will pass, the valley of the shadow, the Christian faith gives the brightest light. There's no other religion in the world. Some people say all religions are the same. They all lead to God. I don't believe that. No, no. There's no other religion in the world. There's no other philosophy or set of ideals that gives more hope and more hope at the end of this life on earth than the Christian faith. The valley of the shadow is a valley that we will all pass through unless the Lord comes in the meantime. And I want to say it to you again, the Christian faith is the brightest light. Part of our ministry was spent in County Monaghan, and there were great years. I used to visit a man who lived not far from the manse, in fact, nearly across the road, in Castle Shane. And he was a man who wasn't out much. You know, there's an interesting thing. I never understood it. People who are not out much, they know everything that's going on. They do, and they know everybody else's business too, but that's another story. And they know the news of the district. And I would visit, and sometimes there would be a death in the congregation, and we would talk about the person, naturally enough, the sort of thing you do when you go visiting. But he would nearly always ask the same question. He would say, "Mr. McLean, was he ready to go? Was he ready to go?" Now, that's a question that a lot of people don't like being asked. But you know, it's a most important question, really. Are you ready to go? And it brings out again that in the darkest valley that life will ever set before us, and it will, the Christian faith is the only way. It is the only lamp that lights the way. But here, notice something else about it. It is referred to as the valley of the shadow. Interesting phrase, that, the shadow. A shadow can be very frightening. Do you remember walking along the road and the car lights come and you have this great big shadow and so it is a bit spooky. A shadow is frightening, but a shadow will not harm you. A shadow will not harm you. And I think it's no accident that in the scripture the phrase valley of the shadow is used to describe death for the one who is firmly trusting in Christ. And here's another thing. A valley, like the picture on the screen, a valley is not a dead end. A valley is something, it's not a road with the exit blocked. It's not a cul-de-sac, as it were. It's something you pass through. You pass through, just as you pass through the Clocher Valley, through those towns, Ocher, Clocher, 5 mile town, if you're going up to Enniskillen or away out to the west. You pass through the valley, going through. And I emphasize it again. The Lord Jesus, who died in your place and mine, will go before us, but he will lead us through. And all he asks us to do is to trust him. The singing of paraphrases is maybe not as popular now as it used to be. And that's a pity, but we have such a wide variety, a great repertoire. We can't sing everything in our services. But the one we used to sing in my congregation from time to time, paraphrase 42, it goes that lovely tune, Kilmarnock, "Let not your heart with anxious thoughts." But the words of Jesus taken from John's Gospel 14, and one of the verses in this very theme, it says, "I go, your entrance to secure, and your abode prepare. Regions unknown are safe to you when I, your friend, am there." There's a great truth of the Christian faith. Regions unknown are safe to you when I, your friend, am there. As I said, when I was a boy, we lived in the Clocher Valley. We used to visit our neighbours at night. We walked sometimes. We relied on the light of the moon, and sometimes you carried a torch. You'll do that now. But to tell you the truth, it was a wee bit frightening because there were noises behind the hedge. Lived right out in the middle of the country, not on a main road like this either. Lived out in the country. And the torch didn't shine round the hedges that weren't maybe cut as well in those days as they are today. And it was spooky. And you couldn't see round the corner, and you had to walk in the light. The only bit you could see was the bit that the torch showed in front of you. But you soon learned that the only way to do was to take that step, and then the next step would become clear. Nobody walks with a torch now. But it was a very great telling picture of faith, wasn't it? Because whatever valley you are in, the principle is we walk by faith, not by sight. We have to trust. I will trust in you alone, we were singing. We walk by faith. And if we walk with Jesus, it doesn't take the darkness away necessarily. It doesn't make the moon shine brighter. But you'll know that he is with you, and you can trust him even in the valley of the shadow. I want you to think about that valley today, the valley of the shadow of Psalm 23. But let's go to another one. There's other valleys too. We read Psalm number 84 there. And Psalm 84 contains a message we sing about from time to time. It talks about the valley of Baca. We read that a moment ago. Now, what on earth was the psalmist talking about when he referred to the valley of Baca? Psalm 84, verse 6. We're not told the psalmist's name, actually, but whoever he was making his way up to the house of God. Whether he was a young priest going there to perform his duty, or whether he was simply an ordinary Jew going there to conduct worship, we don't know. But he tells of his thoughts as he travels through. You see, at that time, the people believed that God could only be met in a certain place. Now, we don't believe that today. But they believed you had to go to a certain place, the temple, the synagogue, to meet God. And as the pilgrims made their way, and you have a whole lot of the psalms, the psalms of ascents, they sung as they made their way up to the house of God. As they made their way up to a certain place, it was a difficult journey. It was like a sparrow going home to the nest. Now, the valley of Baca, that is referred to in Psalm 84, was clearly a difficult part of the road, a difficult part of the journey that the travelers had to walk on. The word Baca in Hebrew suggests trees that grow in very dry, arid conditions. So I think we can assume it was a very wearisome, difficult part of the journey that the travelers did not look forward to. And the travelers prayed for strength just to carry them through this difficult, wearisome part of the journey to the house of God. But what happens? The rain has come. And the result is that the dry valley that the travelers were afraid of walking with, the autumn rain has left little pools of water. And instead of the desolation, the whole thing takes on a totally new meaning. It was not the desolate place that they expected it to be. Now, the valley of Baca is a picture of the dry, hard times that we often face in life. What's it saying to us? Is it not reminding us that there are many valleys that we must pass through? They're the tough places. Now, I know they'll be different for you than they'll be for someone else. The valley of adolescence, for example, is a valley where it's difficult for young people. Nothing seems certain. A lot of things go through minds at that stage, at that age in life, and many people, young people, need spiritual encouragement, and so often they don't get it. And I think the church needs to really rise up and to be active among teenagers and so on. I'm so glad I belong to a church where there was active youth and activity and friends and help at that time. But here's another valley. The slide will show it. There's the valley of disappointment. Disappointment. Now, we all have disappointments. A relationship broken. A job lost. An exam failed. A marriage breakdown. A family problem. The list is endless. And the issue may seem maybe trivial to you or to me, but to the person concerned, it's not a valley. It's the end of the world. And they're going through a very, very, very tough time, the valley of disappointment. Let none of us misunderstand that. Let us be open and be open to help anyone going through the agony of the valley of disappointment, and plenty of people are. And here's another one. There's a valley of sickness. I think we take our health and strength too often for granted. It's easy to say how we react when we're not in the circumstances. I will never forget sitting at the bedside of a young man who took his last breath in Beaver Park Hospital, 36 years of age or thereabouts. And he said something to me. He said to me sometime before he died, he said, "Mr. McLean, if you have your health, you're a millionaire." I never forgot it. If you have your health, you are a millionaire. Our health and strength is a blessing for which we ought to be thankful to God every day that we live. Because many people are going through valleys of sickness and difficulty. And you know that as well as I do. And we've got to be prayerful and helpful for those people. Maybe some of them are known to you. Maybe you're in that situation too. I don't know. You all knew the name of the Reverend John Gervin. John Gervin was a moderator of our church. I'm sure probably preached here, maybe back in the days of Sam Moles or there around that time of ministry. I'm not sure. John Gervin went to visit someone one day, a friend of his, and he was dying. And John, he was a young man, and John didn't know what to say. There are just times when you feel lost for words. And he didn't have to say anything, as it so happened. Because the man from his bed looked up to John and he said, "John," he said, "give life, give all you've got." He said, "If I had realized I was only going to have half a life, I'd have put more into it. If you only have half a life, I'd put more into it." Valleys of sickness. Now, there are lots of valleys. You can think of many more. I knew a lady once. She came from the very west of Donegal. She came from a prominent Protestant farming family, well-to-do family. And she fell in love with a Catholic labourer who worked on her farm, and the family didn't like it. And the pair of them had to leave the area, and they came and they lived in Tyrone, not far from where I lived, and they eventually went to England. I don't think they ever returned to Donegal. But here's the point. This woman lived in a valley of disapproval. That's the next point. The valley of disapproval. And she lived in that all her days. The family thought that the person she married wasn't good enough, and they disowned her. You know, that kind of thing happens today still. It does. Now, you can think, I've only mentioned two or three, and I want you to think about that this afternoon. You can think of other valleys that we all pass through, maybe someone you know passing through. Adversity comes into our pathway. Life is not all sunshine, nor is the path smooth. Jesus never promised it would be, but it's like the valley of the shadow itself. He promises to be there. And that's the wonderful thing. He promises to be there, never far from us, and never nearer to us than when we need him the most. The tragedy is that so often, it's like becoming a Christian in the first case, very often people keep Jesus at a distance. I believe as a Christian that God sent Jesus into this world 2,000 years ago to make a difference to how we see death, obviously, how we face it, how we're prepared for it. But more than that, how we see life. Life, faith is also for living here and now in 2021. So whatever valley you're in, or maybe go in, you don't need to go there on your own. It's like a simplistic children's chorus, with Christ in the vessel, you may smile at the storm. Now, maybe that's not the best word. But the principle is the true one there. With faith in him, you'll get through. You'll get through somehow. And it's just like the illustration I told you about the lamp. You take it one step at a time, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Rod and staff, they comfort me. Let us pray.